Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was and dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds. Roger, great to be with you here in the middle of this week.
We welcome all of our podcast listeners, and we're glad we could join each other and just kind of connect with you a little bit, talk about what we did last week, and look a little bit ahead to what we're going to be doing this coming week. Still kind of under this virus situation where we're not able to meet, but we can connect. And connections is where it happens, and that's what we're doing.
You and I were talking earlier in the day, and it is a blessing to know that the members of our church family, and of course even beyond, but especially members of our church family, we don't have any reason to be starving to death spiritually due to the work of so many. There is just a wealth of resources, all at the hub right there at charlestownroad.org. If you were not able to watch or listen to Roger's sermon this past Sunday, I would encourage you to go back and watch that. Roger, you talked, it was Mother's Day, of course, and you certainly had plenty to say to mothers, but also to fathers, parents in general. You used the example of Moses and talked about this powerful principle of raising our children to give them.
Right. And it wasn't so much the idea that we teach our kids to give financially. That's a good lesson. But borrowing from God. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave Jesus, his son, to us. And from that, we are to give to others. And so we looked in Hebrews 11, this great principle of Moses' parents, first of all. They were not afraid of the king's edict. The edict said that all Hebrew boys were to be thrown in a river and drowned. They ignored that. They violated that edict because it was wrong. And then when Moses, a few verses later in Hebrews 11, when he grew up, he was not afraid of the king's law. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He would choose rather to be the people of God than with the Egyptians. And all through these, we get these principles. So our three main lessons or principles from that is our children have been given to us so we can give them to the Lord. We need to raise our children spiritually. If all I do is try to get my kids out of the house, I really have failed. God has given me these blessings so I can shape them to serve the Lord. The second principle we talked about was our children have been given to us so they can make a difference in the world. If it doesn't come from our children, where's it going to come from? It's not going to come from the kids of the world. So to make that spiritual difference in the world, to be the lights into the world, to make a difference and an impact, it's got to come from us. So our children have been given to us so we can train them, raise them, and show them the essential things of doing that. And then the third thing we talked about is our children have been given to us so they can make a difference in the kingdom. Once again, as we think about the future of our congregation, who's going to be the next preacher? Who will be the next elders? Who will be the next teachers? And it's the idea of more than just getting our kids into a baptistry. It's teaching them to serve and to help others in the kingdom. And so that was kind of the thrust of the lesson, Jason.
As I was watching, I wish in person, but of course watching from my own living room, one of the little subpoints that you had that I thought would be great to dig in a little more on today. You referenced Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from Daniel chapter 9, and you made the observation that those young men were in Babylon, but they weren't Babylonians. They were given Babylonian names. They were taught Babylonian ways. They lived in a Babylonian land, but they stayed true to God.
And of course, the grand illustration of that is chapter 3 when Nebuchadnezzar has this mighty statue and he's having everybody there. Just, it's like a who's who of everybody in the kingdom there. And at the blowing of all the instruments, the trumpets and everything, everyone was to bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do that. And then they were called before the king. And the king gave him a second chance, but they said, we don't need a second chance. We don't care what you do to us. We are not going to bow down. They had not caved in. They had not been sold out to Babylon. They remained true to God. And as we walk through Moses, we see this with these three, is that they knew who they were, they knew who they belonged to, and they knew what they wanted. And that was to be pleasing to God.
In Babylon, but not Babylonians. And you briefly observed after that little subpoint that that's a story really repeated over and over in the scriptures. But it's more than just a collection of stories, of course. When I listened and thought a little bit about that point, I thought of Philippians chapter 3 and the Holy Spirit leading the Apostle Paul to communicate not to, you know, three young Jewish men centuries ago, but to communicate to Christians. One of the things that really helps me as I read the letter of Paul to Philippians is to remember that Philippi was a Roman colony. Not all of the cities that Paul visited or areas where churches were that he wrote a letter to were colonies. But we know Philippi was a colony set up by Rome. If you were a retired soldier, maybe you would get a great deal of money to, if you were willing to go and settle in Philippi, you live in a sense as a Roman colonist, and you're a long ways away from Rome, but in a sense you live out Roman influence a long ways away from home. Now, when we get that in our minds, a colony sort of mindset, and then we hear Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. You think about how this lands on people who live in a Roman colony, long ways away from Rome. They might have Roman citizenship. And Paul, I think, bounces off of that idea and says to Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. Roger, when we think about our homes as little colonies of heaven, I think that's a powerful idea, especially for parents.
It is. And of course, the idea of citizenship means belonging. There are certain privileges. There's rights to being a citizen. And, you know, in our country, a citizen is allowed to vote. A citizen has certain privileges that come with that. And so as you use that concept of the Roman colony, that's really the history of this country. We began as English colonies. The 13 colonies became the 13 states. And then as we had the Revolution, we broke away from that. Then the citizenship became of America, not England anymore. And so there's a similar concept there. These people lived in Philippi. They might have been Romans, but they now belong to a different colony. The colony was in heaven. That's where our heart is. That's where our citizenship is. That's where our privileges are. And so when we think about the unit of the home, we've had to understand that we are more than just citizens of Indiana, citizens of the United States, people of the planet Earth. We belong in heaven. That's where our home is. That's where our heart is. And from that will shape our decisions and our behaviors and how we think about things as we consider our walk here with God.
As I thought about, okay, how, from the standpoint of a parent, How can we establish that sort of an atmosphere in our homes that we're thankful for what we have? We're going to do our best to be good citizens in our community and in our state, our nation. We're going to do our best to be good neighbors to the people around us. But it's bigger than that, right? Our citizenship is in heaven. How can we get that mindset in our kids? And really, there are just a couple of lessons even right there in that context. The first thing that I jotted down, having an atmosphere where our homes are little colonies of heaven, we need to find examples worth imitating and draw the attention of our children to those examples. That's Philippians 3:17. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me, Paul says, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Our children need good examples.
And has not God put that right before us in what we call the church family?
Absolutely.
Right there they are. And again, although we're not together right now, we know about each other, we hear from each other, we have powerful shepherds who are leading this flock, we have people who have been Christians for decades and decades and decades, and they've been through hills and valleys and all kinds of life experiences, and their faith as strong as it can be. Get the little ones to look at the notch above them, just those a little bit older than they are, and to look at these teenagers, college students, young married couples, and each group has like a little group above them. And we look at these and we see powerful Christians. Here they come when we assemble. Here they come, mom, dad, and book bags and diaper bags and all kinds of stuff. But there they are assembling. There they are teaching their kids the songs about the Lord. Here they are teaching the stories of Jesus. This is how we do it, following the examples. Examples set before us, first of all by our Lord, then by the apostles, and every generation, even down to today, we have godly men and women who are showing us this is the way we need to act. This is the way we need to think. What a great example that is. I remember years ago when we were living in Kansas City, and I always made my boys wear ties to services. They kind of fussed, but I just said, this is what we're going to do because we can do this. And I don't care if other people did or didn't. That's just something that's in my household we were going to do. Well, mother came up to me one Sunday afternoon, and she was out shopping, and she said her little three-year-old boy wanted a tie like my boys wore ties. She wanted to know where she could find little ties. And I helped her find some things. But the thing is, her little boy saw what the bigger boys were doing. And then the bigger boys see what the men are doing. And the men are just seeing what the shepherds are doing. See, we're always looking ahead. And eventually, we're looking to Jesus. And that helps us. What would Jesus do? What did Paul do? And all the way down, this is a great way we make our home a colony of heaven, is by following godly examples.
By God's design, it's not just me on an individual venture, or even just me and my family. It's me within a God-fashioned community called the church. So we need to find examples worth imitating. Number two, our mindset matters. We heard that in verse 18. Where Paul says, many of whom I have told you often and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And he tells us where the road leads, where it ends if you live like an enemy of Christ. The end is destruction. Their God is their belly and they glory in their shame. Why would anybody do that? Well, the mystery is revealed at the end of verse 19. Their minds are set on earthly things. The better path, just a few verses before that, is where Paul says, one thing I do in verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. let those of us who are mature think this way. If our homes are going to be colonies of heaven, our mindset matters.
What a contrast, because here in Philippians 3, he would say that their minds were set on earthly things. The very next book of our Bible, in the book of Colossians 3, verse 2, he says, set your mind on things above. Just the opposite. And that idea, set your mind on things above, or set their minds on earthly things, that is a choice. It's like getting something set that you wanted to watch or something. I've determined to do that. This wasn't just a casual thing. This is something that they did by their choices. And so that tells me, what am I thinking about? What moves my needle? What do I dream about? What do I have a vision about? What do I want? These in Philippians had their earthly concept. They were earthbound, and so they weren't thinking of heavenly thoughts. They weren't thinking about eternal life. They were thinking about the here and the now. Over in Colossians, they had set their minds on things above. They could see through problems because God was on the throne. They could see through difficulties because Jesus still loved them. They could see these things because their minds were set on things above. I also think, we need to bring in part of verse 20 here too, as we think about the mindset here, because in verse 20, he would say in Philippians 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Eagerness, anticipation. Now you take this concept of the home. How does a child anticipate when his birthday is? I mean, for a little child, he doesn't know the difference between May and October. I mean, kid doesn't know those things. But what happens is mom and dad starts talking about it. They start talking about Christmas is coming. They start talking about your birthday is around the corner. Your birthday is coming up. And they start talking about, and it builds an anticipation. Well, is it the same thing spiritually? Jason and I say all the time, Sunday is the best day of the week. That's more than just a cute phrase we like. We talk about it. We talk about it. We talk about it. This day is this. 2 days from now is this. Sunday's coming. On Sunday, we get to worship the Lord. On Sunday, we're going to sing songs to God. We get excited about that. We build the anticipation. These people in Philippi, they eagerly awaited the Savior. There was a sense in which their minds were different than their neighbors. Their neighbors were stuck on the earth. They were stuck on the Savior.
I think that's a great last point to camp on, that if our homes are little colonies of heaven, we hear Paul say in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. We're eagerly waiting for the coming of our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I think one of the great parts of being a child is that anticipation that you're talking about, anticipating a birthday, anticipating Christmas, anticipating maybe a family vacation to Disney World. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's just get it all out on the table. If we don't build within the hearts of our children an anticipation of seeing Jesus that is greater than all of those things, we're not raising these children to give the way you were talking about on Sunday.
And it's more than just talking about it. They need to see an eagerness in mom and dad. I mean, if we're just so excited because it's Saturday and we get to sleep in, but Sunday, we got to go to church, and that's our spirit about things. They're going to catch that real quick. So mom and dad need to have this eagerness, and Jesus is coming. Now that's a scary thought if you're not walking with Jesus. If you're not right with the Lord, you don't want him to come. But if you're walking with the Lord, boy, that's the best day ever. Because we get to be with the Lord forever and ever. We'll get to see the face of God, as Revelation 22:4 says. And so that's how we do this. It begins with mom and dad, the spirit that they manifest, and then that carries over. We see this in other applications. a really bad storm is raging in the middle of the night. A little child wakes up and he gets scared and he runs into mom's and dad's bed to find some comfort. If mom and dad are freaking out at that moment, it's bad news. But if they just kind of pat the little child on the head, give him a little kiss, it's okay, and he just goes back to sleep because he's comforted, because they have a calm about them. Our children pick up from our spirit. And so we need to realize if Sunday indeed is the best day of the week, they're going to know that. They're going to see it's a different day because the way we act, the way we anticipate, we are a colony of heaven. What a wonderful thing that is.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon, but not Babylonians. Us today in this world, not of this world. That's a lesson that needs to be learned first and foremost in the home. How do you start that? Well, find examples worth imitating, applaud those, follow those, realize that your mindset matters, and we are anxiously, eagerly awaiting the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if you have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen to Roger's sermon from this past Sunday, I would definitely encourage you to do that. Roger, here in the middle of this week, of course, we are already looking forward to Sunday. We had a kind of soft announcement a little over a week ago that we were hoping to be able to gather in person, at least a portion of us, this coming Sunday, May the 17th. Of course, we've already communicated, and we want to make sure that our church family knows we're not able to do that this Sunday. Our elders continue to monitor this very fluid situation. We trust their leadership. We love them for taking the lead for us. But we're already looking forward to Sunday. There's still going to be online resources. Even after we begin to gather in person, we realize that a large segment of our church family isn't going to be able to do that. And so we really encourage our listening audience, and especially our church family, to pay close attention to charlestownroad.org.
We mentioned at the beginning of this some of our resources. We just kind of generically said that. I mean, I think we are putting out about as much as Jason and I can do, but we have a whole host of things that come out all the time. Monday through Friday, there's a daily blog called Jumpstart. Free. You can get on our website. You can sign up for it for free. We have a quick quote, just a pithy little statement that comes out Monday through Friday. We have our podcast comes out three different times a week. Again, different concepts of this. And then on Friday, we have a little thing we post called Friday Fives, just five little statements that just kind of remind you of things. On top of that, we've got all of our classes that are being put on video. Right now, as we have our sermons on there. All that stuff can be gone back, re-looked at again, revisited. Just a wealth of opportunity. It's like sitting down at a table with all this food. Sometimes it's overwhelming. I don't know where to dive in first. But no one should starve because there's so much before them.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's a lot of wisdom in that. And we appreciate you using this podcast as one little avenue of getting spiritual food and fuel for your journey. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. Lord willing, we'll be back on Friday for another episode of our Heaven Bound podcast. In the meanwhile, we hope you have a great day in the service of our great God.